Several years ago, there was a man who decided to rob a business located in Washington State. If you go back and you review this story, you find that there are a number of facts which suggest that this was the robber's first attempt at this type of crime. If you looked at his record, you find that there was no previous attempt at any kind of violent crime. Out of all the places he could have chosen to rob, he selected a gun store. Other facts about this particular robbery also indicate that he lacked experience. He chose to rob a gun shop when it was full of customers who were interested in weaponry. In this particular state where the robbery was carried out, it was legal at the time, and I believe it still is legal, for people to carry a concealed handgun. In order to get into this shop, the robber had to walk around a marked police car that was near the shop. And in this story, there was even a police officer in this gun store when the robbery took place. The robber comes in, he sees the police officer, he wants the money, he begins to panic, so he says, "This is a holdup." Well, when people looked his way, he decided that he would try to calm the situation by firing off a few rounds. So he did that. And it did not take long for the police officer as well as the store owner to return fire, and then, of course, there were other customers in the store who also had guns and they drew their weapons as well. Well, it didn't take long for the guy to die. In this particular story, no one else was injured, but he certainly lost his life in a hurry. I cite this story to teach us this small fact. Having knowledge is important, but knowledge alone is not enough. For this particular robber, it was not enough to realize that most who commit this type of crime are at one point or another punished. It was not enough to know that robbing a gun shop in a state where people are licensed to carry handguns was a bad idea. It was not enough to see a marked police car as well as an actual policeman at the robbery location. This man failed to use the information that was available to him, and it cost him his life. If you've been here for the past few weeks, we have talked about being intimate with God, and today's lesson serves as a type of transition. We want to, based on the things that we have learned, take that information and then expand into a different area. This morning, though, as we kind of shift, we want to think about the connection between intimacy and knowledge. Then as we enter into next week, Lord willing, we want to, based on the information that we have, and knowing that intimacy with God is possible, see how that intimacy with God affects our daily lives. Well, we know the answer to that as well. Paul in Galatians 5 talked about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. If we have intimacy with God, then it's going to be reflected in the way that we live. Peter, he gives his version of this in 2 Peter chapter 1, what's often been called the Christian graces, and that's where we want to study a week from today. But this morning, we want to really give consideration to the subject of knowledge. We begin with this fact. The Bible affirms in a number of ways that people need a knowledge of God. God is our creator. He is our originator, the one who has literally written the book on us. And if we want to know ourselves, if we want to know our purpose in life, our faults, our hopes, and our future, we need to know God. Well, if we need to know God, the question becomes, how do we get that knowledge? If it's possible to obtain this knowledge, where do we turn to get it? Well, Jesus tells us in a variety of passages that we receive this information from the Scriptures. He once asked a question in Mark chapter 12, verse 10. He said, "Have ye not even read this Scripture?" Jesus knew that men learn about God through the Word of God. So Jesus, as he dealt with this group of people, he asked them why they had not used their Old Testaments to go back to study that information and to learn about God in the way that heaven wanted them to do. In some respects, these people were ignorant about the Word of God and heaven disapproved. If you picked up one of the sheets from the back, you will, I think, see in there Luke 16, verse 29. And I actually want to read that passage as well as one more verse from Luke 16. Jesus deals with knowledge and its importance towards the end of this story about the rich man and Lazarus. And you may remember from this account that the rich man went to a place after this life, the Hadean realm, where he did not fare very well. He was in a state of torment, and he was stuck in that condition. He was a man who had reached a period of existence where he had no hope. This man realized that that was his condition, and he said, "I want someone to go back and to convey to my family that this place, this very detrimental place, exists, and tell my family members so that they will not have to come and suffer with me." He did not want them to suffer or experience everlasting pain. Well, that was his request. What was the response to it? Luke tells us, Luke 16, 29. "But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." People need to know that God has a plan for them in this life as well as the next. They need to realize that in that afterlife, the state will either be pleasant or unpleasant. Those who help write the books of the Bible help create the information that we need to know God. And God is very insistent about our coming to understand him through his word. A lot of people have the idea that they would believe or they would seek a knowledge of God if God did something that was really spectacular. If God performed some kind of cosmic wonder, you know, shook some stars, or maybe, you know, took one and just tossed it from place to place, or God did something special with the moon or the sun, then people would believe. But until God does that kind of thing, well, you know, we're just not going to be that interested. Well, Jesus understood that. So he says this at the very end of Luke 16, verse 31. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if people are not willing to come to a knowledge of God through his word, then Jesus said, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Our Lord himself said that if people will not listen to the word of God, if they will not come to a knowledge of God through the scriptures, they're not going to be willing to get that knowledge any other way. He illustrated that by appealing to the dead coming back to life. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty impressive sign to me. If there is someone who is beyond any doubt dead, maybe they've been dead for a period of 3 or 4 days, and they come back to life, that is certainly impressive. But Jesus claims in Luke 16, verse 31, that the word of God is just as powerful. He knew that people needed to have an understanding of the scriptures, and he confirmed for us that this understanding does come through the word of God. It's not going to come through dreams or visions, God whispering to us, or some kind of special insight from the Holy Spirit. But in the first century, and that is still true up until the present time, that's how we get the knowledge of God. Most of us will remember a little story from the 8th chapter of Acts. There was a man who had some knowledge about God. He had gone to Jerusalem. That was the right place during this particular time. And he had worship, presumably in the right way. But he also realized, he also understood, that he could obtain more information about God by using the Bible. So as he was headed back home, the scriptures tell us that he took the book of Isaiah. He opened it up and he began to read. He opened it up to a passage which talks about Christ. If you look through Acts chapter 8, you find that this man came to a passage of scripture that he really did not fully understand. Well, God did not, he needed that information, but God did not give it to him by a special message. The Holy Spirit didn't do anything strange. But as you look at Acts chapter 8, you find that there was another man. A second man who was a Christian, he came, he joined the fellow who was sitting in the chariot studying the prophet Isaiah, and the two of them had a Bible study. God helped arrange this particular study because heaven knew. This man needed a right knowledge, a proper understanding of God. And that understanding came in the way that we've described, through a study of God's word. We find also, as we look at the book of Acts, references like Acts 17, verse 11. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Why did these people study the word of God every day? It was not because they didn't have anything else to read. You know, sometimes that happens with people. They do not have anything else to read, so it's okay. We'll go ahead and we'll take a look at this. Or there's nothing else on TV, so we'll watch the news or we'll turn over to the weather. That was not the case with the people in Acts chapter 17. They understood their need to know God, so they turned to the right source. Also, another reference in this regard is in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 2, Paul talked about the oracles of God. The word that's translated oracle means a revelation or information coming from deity. Well, if deity, that is, if God, has issued a revelation, an oracle, if he has presented information, then that suggests to us that we need to consider that, we need to look at that, we need to study that, because that's going to help us understand God and his will. We also, as we think about what Paul wrote, come to Colossians 3, verse 16. That's a passage which tells us that our knowledge of the scriptures, and ultimately then our knowledge of God, it needs to be broad and deep. In Colossians 3:16, Paul said, let the word of God, that is the scriptures, dwell in you. And then he said this, let the scriptures dwell in you richly. Within the past, previous generations of the church, our people were known as people of the book. Person after person in the pew really knew the word of God. And that knowledge was not just a fad. It was not because, well, they didn't have TV and the internet back then, so they read the Bible. But people understood that that was God's will. So they spent time with heaven's word, and that need is still true today. We need a good working of knowledge of the Bible, because that allows us to have a good knowledge and understanding of God. We need that knowledge. But we also point out that knowledge in and of itself is not enough. James reminds us in James 2, verse 19, that even the demons believe. What do the demons believe? They believe in God. The demons have a great understanding of God and his word. But even though they have that belief, even though demons have what seems to be an excellent understanding of the scriptures, that knowledge, that understanding, their belief cannot save them. And that's what James says in 2:19. We also remember, as we think about demons, a statement in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. There, the demons asked Jesus if they were going to be tormented before the time. Demons recognize the fact that a time is going to come when they're going to be tormented. They're going to be punished. And they also recognize that that time is going to be, in the future, it is a definitive thing. There's no way that they can avoid that. And that's why they were asking that. Is it going to be premature? And the answer to that was no. They know full well what's going to happen to them, but that knowledge does not help them. Well, if we know the will of God, if we know the Bible front to back, and just any other way that we can know it, but we do not act on that knowledge, it's not going to help us. We also, as we think about Jesus and some of the teachings that he gave, call to mind Matthew 7, verse 26. Towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about hearing his words. There are some people who may hear, but they do not believe, and that's not helpful. There are others, such as demons, they hear. And in their particular case, they also believe. But even though they believe, even though they have all the right knowledge, that understanding, that belief is not enough. Jesus himself said that. In the middle of Matthew 7, verse 26, Jesus spoke of doing not what he said. That is, a person may be willing to hear. They may have a full grasp, a full comprehension of what he was saying, but they do not do that. Jesus, you may remember, in that 7th chapter of Matthew, gave an illustration. He talked about the person who was the foolish builder. And that person is like someone who is willing to hear, but they're not willing to act on the knowledge. We may know how to build a house. We may have that knowledge. We may know from the first step all the way to the last item. But if we do nothing with that knowledge, a house will not be built. Then Jesus, a little later, in John 13, verse 17, said to his followers, "Ye know these things." You understand. You're able to grasp this information, and that head knowledge was great. The belief on the part of the disciples was a wonderful thing. But then Jesus said, "Blessed are ye if ye do them." It's not enough to have listened to me over the years that I've spent teaching you, but you need to carry out, you need to fulfill, you need to do what I've said. We may know what is right, and we can cite book, chapter, and verse for what's right. But if all we have is understanding and no action, we fail. Think back to how this lesson opened. There was a man who surely had all the right facts. He knew it was wrong to rob. He saw all kinds of red flags regarding his plan. And yet he failed to put that knowledge to use, and he died. The true story tells us that he paid with his life. In eternity, we also find that people will pay a price that never ends if they do not act on what they know. Next reference that I'm going to turn to is Romans 2, verse 1. This is a passage, of course, that will also be read. Paul, as he is really in the opening chapters of this particular epistle, dealt with this same kind of thing. He dealt with the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1. He speaks to the Jews in chapter 2. And he says in Romans 2:1, the Hebrews, the Jews, were without excuse. His point is the Hebrews had all the head knowledge that they needed. They had a full understanding. But even though they had all that knowledge upstairs, they did not apply it in their lives. He said, "Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man. Whosoever thou art that judgest, wherein thou judgest another." Paul said, "For thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things." They knew what was right. And they said to others, "This is right." But they did not themselves do what was right. If we do not want to fail in the spiritual part of life, and failure for us means eternal separation from God like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, we need to know what the Bible teaches and then put that information into practice every single day of our lives. This practice is right, and it is one more means for finding and maintaining intimacy with God. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James talked about being someone who hears the word but is not a doer. And he said that's not the way that we want to live. James said if we have knowledge but we do not apply it, James 1, 22, the same verse, we deceive ourselves. We're tricking ourselves. We're not looking at things realistically. Jesus once asked in Luke 6, 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Why recognize me for who I am? And then do not the things which I say." That's a question that still needs to be answered today. Jesus realized and he publicly taught that knowledge of God, which we get through the scriptures, is not sufficient. We may know full well who Jesus is. We might be able to prove beyond any doubt his deity. But if we do not act on and we do not apply that knowledge in daily life, it means absolutely nothing in the end. Also from the life of Jesus, we cite Luke chapter 12, verse 47. There Jesus talked about a person who had knowledge and understanding. He specifically says this servant knew the Lord's will. even though the man knew the Lord's will. Jesus goes on to say in Luke 12, verse 47, the servant made not ready, nor did he according to the Lord's will. Here was a man who liked the robber. He had all the information that he possibly needed, but he did not act on it. You know what Jesus said? That man was going to be beaten. How many folks do you know that like to be whipped? I have yet to find too many people that like to be beaten up. Well, Jesus went on to say that this particular man was not only going to be beaten, he was going to be beaten with many stripes. Modern media has done an excellent job of portraying beatings. Various sources, it may be a TV clip. We've seen that at various times with people out there, the cell phones and camcorders. We have a lot of ways to record things. But we've seen people who were beaten with a pipe, or people who were beaten with a stick, or people who were wailed on with a whip or a wrench or something else. And I mean, it's, or maybe it was a hockey game where we saw somebody recently beaten. Had somebody at the last hockey game say that they saw a person beaten, I believe it was 14 times. Well, just one blow is far more than we want to face. But Jesus in Luke 12, verse 47, mark it down, he said that those who hear, those who know, but they do not obey, will be beaten with many blows, many stripes, for they do not do what is right. It reminds me a bit of what Paul said in Romans 2, verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God. That's good. That's the beginning point. But he said the doers of the law are justified before God. We ask, therefore, if we have in our minds, in our understanding, the knowledge that God wants us to have. If we do, are we then taking that knowledge, that understanding, that comprehension, and applying it every single day in our lives so we can be close to God? We cannot have intimacy with God without a knowledge of God. It will not happen unless we're under the age of accountability. That's a little different set of circumstances, but we're talking about people who are adults. Neither can we have intimacy with God alone. We must know what is right, and we must do what is right. If we know the Father, if we have that understanding, and we live as the Father wills, intimacy with God will be a natural consequence. So we ask a very simple question. Are these two things, the knowledge and the application of it, in our lives? Do we have the knowledge we need to love and serve God? If not, it's available. We have it in so many forms. We have it on DVD. We have it in tract. We have it in videos, person-to-person, books. I mean, you name it, and we have it out there, even on the internet. And then are we putting that information into practice every single day of our lives? Let's not be like the demons. They believe, but it does absolutely no, offers no benefit to them. Are you saved? Have you come to that knowledge of God? You've obeyed the plan that is given, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and then you're applying that knowledge that you've gained since conversion each day in your Christian life. If not, this morning we can help you write your life in some way, either to become a Christian or to restore you as a child of God. We let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.